middays. Could not be more excited about it. Thanks a lot for being out there. Thanks a lot for tuning in. We appreciate it. Ireland, from the moment they moved us to afternoon drive, we began lobbying and saying we want to go back to middays. It is the ideal time to do a show. It is where we like being on the air. And finally, the suits have listened.
I can't wait. I love being, this is my favorite time of the day to do a show. This is my favorite time of year. After a 7-year wait, Mace, the Lakers are back in the playoffs. As a matter of fact, the playoffs have already started down in the Orlando bubble. Game one between Denver and Utah is insane. It's 115-113 with 20 seconds to go. I haven't been this excited to do the show all year. Now, nobody's been excited this year because this year sucked.
Yeah, it's a terrible
now,
year.
I feel like we're turning the corner. The Dodgers are back. The Lakers are back. We're back in the midday. Let's go. Let's get it on.
Let's go. Tomorrow night, Lakers getting ready for first round of the playoffs. They face Damian Lillard and the Portland Trailblazers. 4:30 pregame, 6 o'clock tip. We'll let you know, by the way, Dodgers on a 5-game winning streak. They host Seattle tonight. They are off to the races. Beat the Angels yesterday, 8-3. Kiebert Ruiz. Let's say that.
Say that five times fast.
Kiebert Ruiz, in his first major league bat, hit a home run. Dodgers' best record in the National League. But today, we are getting ready for the NBA playoffs. They're officially here. John, you said, I always like this time of year. You know, the time of year has changed.
That's true. I'm not used to having playoff games in August, but I just got my head around that the playoffs are starting. And I've tried to explain this to you and to many of the listeners over the years. The NBA is really two different games.
And by the way, Utah, Denver going to overtime.
Yeah, and it should. This game is good. Donovan Mitchell, by the way, has 51 points.
Yep.
A career high, 51 points. So it's been an unbelievable game. But this game is an example of it, and I think what you're going to see tomorrow night will be an example of it. Oh, by the way, Clippers play their first game tonight against Dallas.
Yes.
Mace, the regular season is not a precursor to what you see in the postseason.
Correct.
The postseason in the NBA is a completely different animal. It's better. It's more intense. The possessions mean more. The stars play way more, not a few more, way more minutes. And that's one of the reasons why. And I've been studying for the last 2 days for this Laker-Portland matchup. I have more meaningless things
really?
In my
You've
head.
Really? How much studying have you done?
I'm counting 1, 2, 3, 4. I have 9 pages of notes in front
of
the Blazers. But here's the one thing I can't understand. This movement by the media, and Brian Windhorst is coming on today. He's sort of on this thing that the Blazers are going to beat the Lakers.
He's on the thing are going to beat the Lakers?
We'll find out. Colin, who I love, Colin Cowherd, Blazers winning.
Colin picked the Blazers.
What is
wrong with Colin?
So, by the way, you know, there is no bigger person that I have a man crush on than Damian Lillard. You're sick of me telling you how great Damian Lillard is. Michael and I both have loved him for 10 years. He's an unbelievable player. He's the best player in the bubble. I would take Lillard before Steph. I would take Lillard before Harden.
Yeah, by the way, I would have Lillard on my MVP ballot this year. He belongs there.
Would you have him first team All NBA though? That's when
No, I wouldn't have him first team All NBA.
So but I would. Then you can't have him as MVP.
But I would have. I heard Zach Lowe today said he put him number 4 on his MVP ballot.
Yeah, he's been unbelievable. And
yeah, he's scoring 40-ish, 50-ish, 60-ish points.
37
is just outrageous.
37.6. He was in the bubble in the 8 bubble games. Now 9 for that team because they had to play another one on Saturday. So I have great respect for Lillard. Could Lillard put the Blazers on his back and lead them to an upset over the Lakers? Sure. I just don't see it. If you look at it, if you do a deep dive, and I've done a deep dive.
Yeah.
LeBron has been great in the 3 Laker-Blazer games. Anthony Davis has been great. And Kyle Kuzma has been great in the 3 Laker games. So here's some numbers. LeBron averaged 25-11-7. 25-11-7 in the 3 games against Portland.
Yes.
All right. AD averaged 32 a game in the 3 Laker-Blazer games. And Kuzma averaged 19-8.
Well, we got to say, Portland is one of the worst defensive teams in the league. They're 27th in defensive rating.
Dame has unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
In the 3 Laker games, he was 36-6-9. So he's great. That's the other side. But could this be a 6 or 7 game series? Absolutely. Would I pick the Blazers to win? No way. I'm all in on the Lakers.
Oh, I'm all in on the Lakers, too. The one thing I noticed from watching that Memphis game on Saturday is that Portland looks gassed. Nurkic looked especially gassed at the end of that game. C.J. McCollum has a broken something in his back.
He actually played great on Saturday.
But he's not 100%. He's got a broken vertebrae in his back. So we'll see exactly what he's got there. Collins has come back, and he's been a little bit rusty. Defensively, this is not a great team. But I remember being at Staples Center the first game after the Kobe tragedy, and I think Damian went for 48.
That was the game Portland won. They played three times, twice in Portland and once at Staples Center. The road team won all three games.
Yeah, and Damian Lillard stole the shine on that particular night at Staples Center. But I think there are a lot of things to like. Nurkic is a great player. I mean, he ended up on the floor at least four or five times in the fourth quarter on Saturday. He will dive on the floor. He will be everywhere. He's a great hustle guy.
Well, there was a wild card on Saturday. Do you know what it was?
What's that?
There was a wild card for Nurkic on Saturday. Do you know what it was?
No.
His grandmother died from COVID-19 in the morning on Saturday morning. And he kind of played that game for her.
Yeah.
At one point, he had 21 rebounds in that game. At one point in the first half, at halftime, Nurkic had 17 rebounds while none of his teammates had more than one.
Wow.
So he's playing possessed. But let me throw something at you, and you tell me if this is something or nothing. Okay?
Yep.
2 years ago, 2018, in the first round of the playoffs, Portland was the 3 and New Orleans was the 6.
Right.
Okay? Now, in that series, New Orleans swept Portland as the lower-seeded team. Now, here's Anthony Davis's numbers, and this was against Nurkic and Zach Collins. Now, Zach Collins at the time was a rookie, so you got to figure he's a better player now. But this was against Nurkic. AD, game one, 35 points, 14 rebounds, 4 blocks, 14 of 26 shooting. Okay, just a completely dominant performance. Game two, 22, 12, and 2 blocks.
Yep.
So, good. Game 3, 28, 11, 2 blocks. Again, really unguardable. Game 4, the clinching game of the sweep, Anthony Davis, 47 points, 10 rebounds, 3 blocks, 15 of 23 shooting. Oof. I don't think they have a matchup for AD.
No, they really don't have it. I mean, they're going to throw two guys on him simultaneously and challenge him to go to the rack. But it's going to be very difficult to contain LeBron at that point. I think what Portland wants to do is to make the Lakers shoot from three. Portland wants to force three-point shots where the Lakers are less efficient than most teams in the league in terms of converting from three. But I would assume that the recipe is always going to be the same. When AD gets the ball, you're immediately going to throw a double team at him. It's going to leave LeBron with one defender and a couple of shooters out there, and they're going to hope that the shooters can convert baskets.
Right. They're going to leave those wide open, and that's where you need a guy like Kuzma to come through.
Yes.
Now, Kuzma in the bubble, 16 of 36 from three, 44%. That's what they need. And they need Danny Green to find his shot. They need maybe Quinn Cook gets some minutes. Maybe Deion Waiters and J.R. Smith play if that's going to be the defensive trade. Now, who do you think? And by the way, I should tell the audience that we might get Frank Vogel today. He's doing media right now in Orlando, but Lindsay and I have been talking to the Lakers, and we might get Coach Vogel.
Awesome.
Who do you think they're going to put on LeBron?
It's going to be Skinny Mello.
LeBron would destroy him.
I know, but it is going to be his main defensive assignment. Don't you think?
They don't have anybody else.
Yeah, they've got nobody else. It's Skinny Mello.
You can't put Lillard or McCollum on him. They're too short.
Yeah.
You can't put Collins on him. He's too slow. So I think what you're going to see is Mello start on him, and if LeBron lights him up, Gary Trent Jr. will come in off the bench to try and guard LeBron. And I don't know if he can, but if LeBron asserts himself like he normally does in the postseason,
yes.
LeBron's one of the great postseason players of all time. I think that then the Lakers control it. Now, having said all this, I used to say that the Lakers' strategy for a lot of years would be keep the game close till the end of the fourth quarter, and then they would Kobe the game.
Yes.
If Portland can do that, if they can keep the game close, then in the fourth quarter, they can Dame the game.
Dame the game, yeah.
He is unguardable, Damian Lillard. He is, right now, the hottest player on the planet. That's how good he's been. Mace, I haven't seen a short guy command control of an NBA game like this since Allen Iverson.
Right.
And like I said, I think right now, Michael will probably go the other way, but I think right now, if there was a mass pickup game to save the world, I would take Dame ahead of Steph.
Ahead of a healthy Steph.
I think I would. And I love Steph.
Yeah.
And Steph is a two-time MVP. The one thing Dame does not have on his resume, and this might concern you if you're a Laker fan, is postseason dominance. He helped get him to the Western Conference Finals last
year. Yeah, I mean,
year.
Last year was pretty close. I mean, he got them there. He got
right.
them close.
But then the Warriors basically took him out of it. Yeah, and that's one thing, an interesting question for Frank Vogel. So if you have to pick, do you let Dame go off and shut down everybody else, or do you try and get the ball out of his hands?
I think I want to try to get the ball out of his hands.
I do too.
Yeah.
But I don't know if he can. He's
no.
one of those guys got a lot
and
of
And especially,
Kobe in him.
By the way, this is where the Lakers, to whatever degree, miss Avery Bradley, who is their best perimeter defender. It's going to be a lot of KCP. It's going to be a lot of Alex Caruso. Who else are going to be defensive draws for Dame?
Danny Green will guard him a little bit because Danny Green has good size and Dame's not really a post-up player.
Right, right.
But I don't think you can guard him with one guy.
No.
I just don't. I think he's too good.
All right, coming up next, brand new time slot. Thank you very much for being out there. We appreciate it a lot. And we've got a special way. I called my friend John Patterson.
Yeah, John, this is awesome.
You will
I don't
not
know if
believe.
We have we ever done this before?
Never, ever, ever done this before. We are going to give away a car, and we'll tell you about that next. Plus, we've got an introduction, John, a brand new member of Mason and Ireland, the Mason and Ireland team. Jorge Briones is going to be with us, and we'll talk to him next, too, coming up. Mason and Ireland, don't forget, Lakers tomorrow night, getting ready for a first-round matchup with the Portland Trail Blazers. I understand now it's a 4 o'clock tip, 2 hours of pregame, 4 o'clock pregame, and a 6 o'clock tip tomorrow. So that's the scoop on that. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We are going nowhere. Mason's Mazda giveaway is going on right now. John, it is brand new. My friend John Patterson, I called him up. I said, John, look, we're moving into a new time slot, and I would love a way to really reward those people who have been waiting for us to come back and those of us that have crossed over from afternoon drive, and we have got it. It is an OC Mazda 2021 Mazda CX-30 that we will be giving away. Now, here's the crazy thing about this. So we're going to do this. You probably remember how we do Lakers Fifth Row Fridays, where you pay attention to everything we say, and then Friday at 3:15, there's a pop quiz. If you answer all five questions correctly, and it is not easy, it is not a gimme, if you answer all five questions correctly, you will get one of only four keys that could start the 2021 Mazda CX-30. Yeah, so one of four keys, you get a 25% chance. You get a $100 gas card, and one of the four keys, it is sponsored by John Patterson's Tustin Mazda, Huntington Beach Mazda, where it is all about you. Every caller who calls in on Friday, whether you win or not, will have 30 meals donated to the OC Rescue Mission in their name. That's the kind of guy John Patterson is. But a brand new 2021 Mazda CX-30 Pay attention to everything we say from here on out. Now, for years, John, we had Funchess working on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Funchess is no longer part of the show. He's part of the early part of the day here. And we've got a brand new board op senior associate producer, and it is Jorge Briones. Jorge, what's going on, man?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Sounds weird saying good afternoon after doing
three years
in the morning show.
Jorge, what time did you get up this morning?
Honestly, 5:40, panicked that I was running late.
Yeah, thinking that's what stays with you forever. Mason and I did mornings for 5 years, and you kind of automatically wake up early for a while. For me,
yeah,
it's never stopped. Mason now just sleeps till noon.
Oh, but I sleep as long as I possibly can.
But, all right, good. So, Jorge, we're happy to have you.
Yeah,
and,
thank you.
Mace, Donovan, okay, so Denver just beat Utah in the first game of the playoffs. But Donovan Mitchell had 57 points. Take a guess at how many people in NBA playoff history. Now, I'm only talking about the playoffs. Remember I told you, playoffs, different animal than the regular season.
Right.
In the history of the NBA, how many people have scored more than 57 points in a playoff game? Take a guess.
I'll say three.
The answer is two. Michael Jordan, 63 in 1986, and Elgin Baylor, 61 in 1962. So that's how rare it is that somebody would go off in a playoff game when the defenses are turned up. And Donovan Mitchell today scored 57 points in a losing effort for Utah. And one thing that will get talked about is late in the game, with like 3 minutes to go in the game, Utah walked the ball up the floor, and they didn't pay attention to the backcourt violation clock, the eight-second clock, and they turned it over because they took too long. Denver came to, they were up by four with 3 minutes to go. Denver came down, hit a three, and then got the game to overtime and beat them. So there'll be a lot to talk about. And these playoff games right now, so they just rolled out of one and into another. Now, Toronto, Brooklyn, I think this is going to be a sweep.
Yeah, me too. Toronto will sweep Brooklyn.
But
it's basically Caris LeVert and company.
Yeah. But you know what? Did you watch the play-in game on Saturday?
Yeah. Yeah.
Brooklyn almost beat Portland.
They were very close. They were right there.
And that would have knocked the Blazers out. The
would
Blazers,
that have knocked them out entirely?
Yep. It would have been Phoenix.
Wow.
That would have gotten in had that happened. But
yeah, by the way, I as for this Lakers matchup with Portland, it's not my favorite matchup in the world. Like I think Memphis, they steamroll.
Oh, and by the way, Mace, let me back up. Memphis and Portland played Saturday. It was
Memphis,
Thursday
Portland.
That I'm talking about. Thursday it was 134-133.
Yeah, I think Portland is my least favorite of the potential matchups. I still don't have all kinds of fear about this particular series. By the way, Brian Windhorst is going to join us here in just a minute. We'll get his thoughts on it. Dame certainly is a wild card in this series. They will go as far as Dame Lillard is able to take them. I still think I was originally thinking this is a 6-game series. Now I think it's a 5-game series. What do you think?
I'll stay with the 6, but I don't think there's I'm riding with the Lakers all the way. These people saying that Portland's going to win it. I see your scenario that Damian Lillard goes off, but let's use this game that just happened as an example. Could I see Lillard scoring 57 in a game? Yeah, but they could lose. Utah lost today. I just think the Lakers are a better team. I think they're deeper. I think they're better coached. I think that they have the two biggest stars on the court both play for the Lakers. So I'm riding with the Lakers on this all the way.
Yeah, me too. All right, coming up next for you, Brian Windhorst is going to join us from ESPN. We'll get his thoughts here on the NBA playoffs and particularly on Lakers-Blazers starting tomorrow night. 6 o'clock tip right here on 710 ESPN. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Ian, Mason in Ireland, what is up? By the way, Mike Trudell tweets, head coach Frank Vogel says Rajon Rondo is medically cleared to play, but will take it day to day, see how he continues to progress with his conditioning, rhythm, and timing. So it sounds like Rajon Rondo is close to coming back.
And right now joining us is one of the lead voices for the NBA and ESPN, Brian Windhorst, who has an excellent article out right now on ESPN.com explaining why the Lakers' number one seed may be the least valuable number one seed of all time. And he goes into some detail here. Brian, thanks for coming on. But what's at the heart of your point? Why is this the least valuable number one seed of all time, in your opinion?
Well, number one, no home court advantage, which is simple to figure out, of course.
Sure.
I actually think that the Lakers have a road advantage, too, because in most NBA arenas, they enjoy huge support from the crowd. And frankly, LeBron has talked in the past about how much he likes playing on the road in the playoffs. He thinks he plays better on the road than at home. And the numbers actually support that. And he's talked about struggling to get his mojo in this bubble. I don't think that'll be an issue long term, but he feels the lack of energy and he feeds off that energy. But most important, you know, the delay and the bubble and the play-in enabled a team that wasn't already in the playoffs to work their way in the Blazers. And they are a more formidable opponent than you would normally face in the eighth seed. They are not only have experienced players, but they have some star players. That is not a typical eighth seed. And so you look at the Lakers who worked so hard throughout this season, overcame so much and beat all of these teams primarily because they were so darn good on the road. The reason they're the number one seed, in my view, is because they were the best road team in the entire league, and especially in the Western Conference. They won all of those road games, and they don't get to reap the normal rewards that come along with that seed usually.
Brian, by the way, Brian Windhorst is with us, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Brian, if you look at this series, one of the things that jumps out is the fact that the Lakers struggled in the bubble, in these seeding games. How much stock should we put in that?
I don't know. It's hard to know because this is all so unusual. Now, I can tell you I have covered many LeBron playoff runs where he didn't look exactly, fluid coming in. And then the playoffs started and playoff LeBron emerged and he was a vicious beast. And so to sit here and say, well, I'm, worried about LeBron because he didn't look like he was 100%. I mean, that's just not who he's been. He's been the guy who, when the lights come on, deliver. However, if you watched these bubble games, he didn't have the same spring in his step in getting past the perimeter defender. Once he got past the perimeter defender, it was lights out. But LeBron struggled at times getting past his perimeter defender. But I will say this. It's a terrible matchup for Portland, both LeBron and Anthony Davis. Now, most teams have a bad matchup with LeBron and Anthony Davis. But there are other teams in the conference who set up better. LeBron and AD should feast. And one of the things you could say is that even though the Lakers have struggled offensively, you could make the argument that because they are playing a poor defensive team, and that's why the Blazers are the eighth seed. You know, they had injuries, but they are a poor defensive team. Maybe this gets the Lakers right. Maybe this gets them their rhythm back offensively because they are going to get open shots and they're going to have matchup advantages. I really think that game one will tell us a lot. Now, normally I'm a guy who doesn't overreact to game one ever. LeBron, for example, won his first championship. He was down in all four series he won that year, or actually the last three series he was down. So normally I don't get too wrapped up in game one. But if the Lakers can come out and slap the Blazers across the mouth, show their might, I think that would establish some dominance. The Blazers come in and get another big win since they've won, you know, three or four big games in a row. I think that gives them confidence. So I think tomorrow night ends up having a little bit more weight than normal in the start of a playoff series.
We're talking to Brian Windhorst from ESPN, Mason in Ireland. Brian, put your Terry Stotts glasses on for a second, the coach of Portland.
Do you own a pair of Terry Stotts glasses, Brian?
I don't even know if
they're around here somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know if Terry wears glasses. But, Brian, who guards LeBron? I mean, during the season, it was mostly Trevor Ariza, who has opted out of the bubble. Do they have to put Melo on him, at least to start?
Yeah, that's a big problem. And, again, I'll bring up Anthony Davis. I don't. You know, they're weak at the four position right now. They've been playing Melo there a little bit, and they've even in the bubble started playing Wenyen Gabriel, a rookie, who's sort of a he's got good size. He's 6'9", but he's, you know, Anthony Davis, I think, would really eat him up. So, I think if you look at what's happened in the bubble so far, LeBron has had a little bit of an issue, and I really got to put an asterisk on this because this is one of the biggest beasts in the history of the game, but he's had a little bit of an issue at times dealing with size. Like, specifically, I remember him having an issue dealing a little bit with Lou Dort from the Thunder.
Right.
He has a guy who's shorter but has really good sort of bulk. So I think the play is you put your bulkiest guy out there and know that LeBron's gonna, you know, to try to do anything you possibly can to get LeBron to shoot as opposed to drive. So I think that Melo makes the most sense. I will tell you that historically, Melo guarding LeBron has not gone well for Melo. but that may be because here's the other issue. When the Blazers have their best lineup out there right now, they have three perimeter players who are small, relatively small. Lillard, C.J. McCollum, and Gary Trent Jr. None of those physically can touch LeBron. And so I think what you're going to end up with is a struggle for the physical size of the two Laker forwards, which is the entire point of pairing them together. But the Lakers have to use that leverage, use that advantage. And if I'm LeBron, I am coming out and I am saying, I'm going to get two fouls on Melo. If they have the audacity to put Carmelo Anthony on me, I'm going to get his behind on the bench in the first 5 minutes of the game. That's what I would do. We'll see if that's what happens.
Been there before. It's something you hear a lot when it comes to the NBA playoffs. One of the players who's not been there before is Anthony Davis. Some have questioned how AD is going to play at this altitude in these high leverage games. What's your level of concern about AD?
The thing about AD is in his playoff history is that he has put together some incredible games, even in defeat. He has a record of high level playoff performances. But he also has a record of duds. And with where this Lakers team is, not necessarily in a Blazers series, I think they should be able to handle them unless they, you know, hand away a game or two. But as you get on, you're going to have to win. If you're going to get the gold trophy, you're probably going to have to win three really hard series. And with the way the Lakers are constructed, they really cannot afford Anthony Davis to have dud games. They can afford him to have some off games. They can't afford dud games. They just don't have the power in the depth. Now, Kyle Kuzma has played great. I think it's probably the best sign for the Lakers' chances is that he has played better in the bubble. Frank Vogel has rewarded him by boosting his minutes. He put him into the starting lineup when the opportunity came. But I just don't believe, and, you know, you can grill me on this if you want. I don't trust that Kyle Kuzma can deliver every game. I just don't. And I don't think you can. There's a lot of Laker bench players I don't think you can rely on. Do I think it's possible Deion Waiters could score 16 points and help you win a game? Yeah. Do I think you want to begin your game plan thinking you need that? No, I don't think you. I don't think you want that from Alex Caruso. I don't think you want that from KCP. I mean, they can do it. So I think you're going to really need consistent, solid performances, even on a night when his outside shot may not be falling or he's struggling a little bit with his matchup. He's got to put up 20-10. A bad game for him has got to be 20-10. And then you're expecting 4-7, you know, 36 point, 14 rebound, five block game, because that's why he's there. You get those two because, you know, LeBron's going to have games like that. That's what's going to get you the trophy, and we'll see. He's got the opportunity now to do this.
Brian Windhorst with it. Brian, last thing for me tonight, Clippers-Mavericks open. I love Luka. I actually am a big fan of Kristaps Porzingis more than others. I know he doesn't play any defense, but I like him a lot. I love Rick Carlisle. I hate the matchup for Dallas.
It's awful.
I think the Clippers are a bad matchup for them. Can Dallas give them a series?
I would say probably not. I would even argue that almost any other matchup other than the Lakers, but any of those other teams that Dallas could have played, Denver, Utah, you know, Oklahoma City, Houston, I would have given them a better chance, which is kind of the point. If you're the seventh seed, it's better to play the worst teams. But, you know, Luka's numbers are terrible against the Clippers. He actually, now I'm not going to sit here and try to tell you that plus minus is the be all end all. I understand it's got limitations. But per 100 possessions against the Clippers this year, when Luka was on the court, they got outscored by 16 points. That's a third rate bench player numbers. That's not MVP candidate numbers. The Clippers just had his number this year. I will say this, the Mavericks are one of the greatest offenses I've ever seen. And so they have the old puncher's chance on a night when they may just put up a lot of points. But the Clippers have been working towards this for 13 months. From July 4th, 2019, or whatever that day they made those moves, they have been building towards this moment. Everything that they have done has been calibrated to get themselves ready for this moment. And my expectation is you will see that play itself out. The Clippers have some potholes on their team. There's some issues that they have to deal with. But they are highly regarded for the reason, and they have geared themselves to this moment, and I expect them to take the Mavericks down without too much stress.
Last thing for you, as a Lakers fan, I'm allowed to look ahead to the second round. Houston is playing without Russell Westbrook, reportedly, versus Oklahoma City, one of the most solid teams in the league. Do you think Houston gets by them?
You know, can you imagine what's going through Chris Paul's head?
Oh, yeah. Wow, yeah.
He dreamed of this matchup. Oklahoma City is a very solid team. They have limitations, though. Like, you know, I think that they have a ceiling. The question is can they push to that ceiling? And the other thing is, how long is Westbrook out? So, to me, the most important player in the early part of the series is Eric Gordon. Eric Gordon is coming off of an injury. Without Westbrook, they are going to double the hell out of James Harden. You're going to see James Harden get doubled probably 60 or 70% of the time is my guess. So the ball goes out of his hands. The idea was it would go to Westbrook's hands. That was the point of the trade. That was the point of going with a small lineup so that there'd be no center in the way and Westbrook could go down the runway and score. Now it's going to go a lot into Eric Gordon's hands. And Eric Gordon, quite frankly, has not had a very good year. But he is very capable. So, yes, you're going to see other guys on that team score. But when the ball leaves James Harden's hands, which is what the Thunder are going to do, what happens? That is where early part in the series without Westbrook is going to be defined. If Eric Gordon delivers, I think the Rockets can get through. If he doesn't, I think the advantage swings over to Oklahoma City. And if they get ahead, that's going to be apply pressure to the Rockets with a thin bench. So we'll see how that goes.
All right. Hey, listen, Brian, thank you very much for coming on. We appreciate I'm glad this works better. Our new time slot works better to bring you on a little bit more often. We appreciate the insight, as always.
Anytime, gentlemen. Good luck.
Thanks.
All right, cool. Good luck. What does he know something? What's coming?
No, that was a
good
sincere.
Luck?
No, that was a sincere good luck. I tell people good luck all the time. You don't?
Do you?
Yeah.
Makes me nervous. Good luck. Well, does
no,
he,
you need
has
good
heard
luck.
Something bad?
I think half my career has been luck.
You think half your career has
half.
Been luck?
Yeah, timing and luck. I think that you and I have been incredibly well positioned from the get-go, and that we, because we've been lucky, we've taken advantage of it.
Well, I'm like your friggin' four-leaf clover is what I am.
Why? How so?
Because I'm part of the luck, man.
I know.
Part of the luck is actually connecting.
And timing.
Yeah, timing.
Yeah, I think people don't give enough credit to luck in their, you know, especially white people. I think you have to be incredibly lucky.
White person luck.
Yeah. Well, I mean, or privilege. You know, I think now John Wooden used to have a great line. He said, luck is where preparation meets opportunity.
Yes.
So some of it, you know, you got to take advantage of it. But I think you and I have both been really lucky.
Yeah. I mean, my choices were I could be on unemployment in Toledo, Ohio right now or doing middays in Los Angeles. I definitely got lucky.
Yep. And we're back where we belong. This is a good thing.
All right. Coming up, you know, I'm curious how people actually feel about this matchup with the Blazers. Is there a level of?
Say, I'm curious how people feel about us being on 1-4.
No, I'm also curious about that. How do you feel about us returning?
All right, either way, you can weigh in. 877-710-ESPN.
877-710-ESPN. Also got the scoop, all the stuff we haven't talked about yet coming up for you at the top of the hour, 4 o'clock. Mason, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm still on the old clock.
2 o'clock.
2 o'clock. 2 o'clock is the scoop. Mason, Ireland, 710-ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland. Boy, somebody just sent me the first mean meme of the brand new time slot. It is a meme of me with Keyshawn Bergman, Andy Brian Kamenetsky, and John Ireland. And the title of this show on this poster is Everybody Hates Mace. Well, thank you.
No,
it's very nice of you.
Well, I don't get it.
That's a play on Everybody Hates Chris, the Chris Rock show.
Yeah.
And the gist of it is that Chris is the star of the show. I mean, that was actually a compliment that you don't get.
Was it? It's a compliment?
Yeah, you just don't get it.
Oh, I didn't get it. All I saw was Everybody Hates Mace, and I thought, oh, damn.
He's trying to say that it's a compliment. It went over your head.
Okay,
all right, 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. You can react to this Lakers Blazers matchup. You can tell us what you think of the new time slot. Chad in Syracuse, New York is up.
Hey!
First. Hey, Chad.
What's going on?
You're on 710 ESPN. What do you think of this Laker matchup, man?
To be honest, I got us going in five. I don't think the Blazers can stop us. Their defense is very bad.
So you think the Lakers in five?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. You make a good point, by the way. Blazers 27th in defensive efficiency. And if the Lakers regain their stroke from three, and if Anthony Davis attacks the basket, I don't think Portland's got an answer for him at all.
I mean, I know he's not listening, but we need Danny Green to hit shots, man. Speaking of threes, we need Danny Green to make shots.
This is his time. Got to make buckets. Yes. Absolutely right.
Well, Danny Green has multiple rings. Hey, Chad, would you try and take the ball out of Damian Lillard's hands or let him go off like the Nuggets let Donovan Mitchell go off today and just try and stop everybody else?
You kind of can. They got CJ McCollum. So, we ain't got no one to stop him.
Nobody does. Nobody has anybody to stop him. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Thanks, man, for the phone call.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
There's certain guys in the league. LeBron's one of these guys. Kobe is one of these guys. You're not going to, hold them under 10 points. It's not possible.
Yeah, right.
It's just you want to try and slow him down as much as you can.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to contain him. He's going to get his points without question. I mean, he went for, he had a game where he went 60-ish. He had a game where
61.
He went 50-ish. Had a game where he went 40-ish. I mean, he's been the hottest player in the bubble. I'll say this. Portland had to play through the finish line, and this is an interesting test. It happens all the time in sports. The Lakers were in meaningless games, didn't play well, but were in meaningless games. Portland had to play through the tape all the way through the finish line. Does that mean Portland is going to be gassed, or does it mean they're going to be already in gear for this series?
I think you can make either argument. But you know what's interesting to me is, okay, so the Lakers were 3-5 in the 8 seeding games.
Right.
Do you know what Milwaukee's record was in the seeding games?
Not off the top of my head.
3-5.
Yeah.
Okay, but everybody seems to say, oh, what's wrong with the Lakers? What's wrong? And nobody's saying what's wrong with Milwaukee. It's like Lakers hate coming out for no reason. They both did the same thing. The Clippers didn't take these seeding games seriously. I mean, the top teams just basically coasted into it. They didn't win them very much, and now we're going to see what they got. Toronto right now is destroying Brooklyn.
Yeah.
They're up 21.
But see, part of it
quarter.
Is matchups, right? Like, if you draw Brooklyn in the first round, you're golden. If you draw Orlando like Milwaukee has in the first round, you're golden. The Lakers just drew, and I kind of agree with Brian Windhorst when he said this is one of the least valuable number one seeds in the league's history. It actually is kind of true. I mean, this is... This could be a 3-6. This could be, had they stayed healthy, they would have been better than an 8.
To that point, if the Lakers win this and they go through in order, I'm speculating, but in order, they go through Portland, Houston, the Clippers, and Milwaukee, I think you could argue it is as good of as any championship in this century, as good as any of the Kobe Shaq three-peats, as any of the two Kobe Powell wins because of who they went through and that they had zero home court. The best point Brian made when he was on is, Mace, not that the Lakers would have gotten to play at Staples Center, it's that they were an unbelievable road team. They were the best road team in the NBA this year, 27-9, and at one point they won 14 straight road games. So they would have gone into somebody else's place and taken a game or two. And they don't get to do any of that. So I think if they win it, everybody says there might be an asterisk. I think that it would be an asterisk the opposite way of what other people think. I think it would be more impressive to win it this way than less impressive, considering the pandemic and Kobe and everything else.
John, poll online. As a Lakers fan, what's your level of concern with the first-round matchup against the Blazers? Low, medium, high? How do you think it has come out so far?
I'm low, so I'd say most people are with me. Low is leading. Low,
low is 43%. Medium is 41%, and only 16% say high.
There you go.
So kind of
so
torn
Laker
between
fans
low
get
and
it.
Medium.
Why doesn't the rest of the people get it?
Yeah, I mean, kind of difference between a fifth, a five rounds, a five game series, and a six game series.
Well,
that's really it.
Yeah, and so let's see what happens. I'm really, really confident. I think the Lakers are going to roll.
All right, coming up for you next is the scoop. All the stuff we haven't talked about yet. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.